Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, as usual, from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins. And I'm in. We're in the studio today to talk about good works in faraway places. We're here with two representatives of Digestive Specialists Inc., a local medical firm, Dr. David Novick and Cindy Milliken. How are you both doing?
Good,
doing
thank
great.
You.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. So your company, which we want to talk a little bit more about in a minute, is embarking on kind of an unusual enterprise that's sort of outside of the realm of the stuff you do day to day, right? Tell us what you're working on.
Well, this year we decided to do a charitable effort. We involved the whole company, and we are partnering with a nonprofit called Pencils of Promise, mm-hmm. and they build schools in parts of the world where there's absolutely nothing, with the belief that every child deserves an education. Mm-hmm. And there's almost nothing more important you can give to someone than that. And we have been doing fundraising events all year, and our goal is to reach $25,000, which will fund a complete school, and that includes 3 years of support, teacher training, education in water, sanitation, and health, and each school contains a bathroom, which may be the only one in the village.
Which will make it a very popular place, right?
Yes.
And where are you
going to
be? Where will you be doing this? Yeah.
Well, the Pencils of Promise works with three countries. Mm-hmm. We chose Guatemala mm-hmm. because it's the closest to the United States, mm-hmm. and because some of our team had actually previously been to Guatemala, and they said that the people were really wonderful, and mm-hmm. they loved it, and they really felt a commitment already, so mm-hmm. we were happy as a group to choose Guatemala.
That's cool. And talk about the company a little bit. Tell us about Digestive Specialists Inc. Where are you set up?
We're a gastroenterology group. Mm-hmm. We have about 18 doctors, several physician assistants, mm-hmm. lots of nurses, medical assistants, mm-hmm. and we have five offices throughout the Miami Valley area. Mm-hmm. Our main office is in Kettering, mm-hmm. but we're also in Springboro, mm-hmm. Beaver Creek, mm-hmm. Needmore Road, and Huber Heights.
Gotcha.
And on four of those, we have endoscopy centers, so mm-hmm. it's very convenient mm-hmm. for people to come to us. Mm-hmm. We treat all types of gastrointestinal disease, mm-hmm. including liver disease, pancreatitis. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of colonoscopy, of course. Mm-hmm. Colon cancer screening is a really big push, mm-hmm. and there's still a great need for that, and there are lots of people out there who still need screening mm-hmm. because people do still die of colon cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of what we do.
Absolutely. Cindy, what's your part in the organization?
I'm in marketing, uh-huh. so I get to tell everybody that we take care of all of your GI needs top to bottom.
There you go. You didn't just make that up now, did you?
No, I didn't. I wish I had.
That's cool. Now, so you say you just decided this year to embark on a project of this sort. What led to that kind of, what led to that decision?
I mean, well, last year I was at a conference and I met Adam Braun, who founded Pencils of Promise, mm-hmm. and he gave a talk, and I thought it was really great. He had been working on Wall Street and actually left the Wall Street job to work full-time
on... His name again, tell me.
Adam Braun.
Okay.
And so he founded this organization and originally built one school mm-hmm. and then built another, and... Mm-hmm. It's gone up to 200.
That's really
and
cool.
He's had a great success, mm-hmm. and I found his speech inspirational, and it seemed that it would be something a little outside the box, a little different, unexpected for a gastroenterology group.
I was going to say, it's not that when you approached me about the show, I was like, I'm kind of curious how those two things came together. So, yeah.
Well, there is one tie-in, and that is with better sanitation, better education.
Right.
There are a lot fewer gastrointestinal diseases mm-hmm. that are very common in tropical areas,
in developing
such as
countries,
Guatemala.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So there is a tie-in there.
What was it about his message that touched you that well?
Well, I thought that he was very idealistic mm-hmm. and proud of it. Mm-hmm. and yet he was well-trained in business practices. He was very up on social media, mm-hmm. and he was combining youthful idealism with excellent business practices. Mm-hmm. For example, he has a book called The Promise of a Pencil, mm-hmm. which is terrific and would be a great holiday gift for any young person.
Mm. Is he old? Is he older?
No, he's a young man. Oh, okay. He's probably 30 by now.
Okay. Younger than us, yeah.
Yeah. So in his book, he mentioned that when he set up his first office, he put up some rules. And rule number one, hopeless idealism in things that are utterly impossible is required to work here.
Read that again. I like that.
Hopeless idealism in things that are utterly impossible is required to work here.
I really like that. That's really cool.
It's fantastic. And because he went to places where there was absolutely nothing.
Right.
It actually started out when he did a semester at sea program where he traveled throughout the world on a boat.
Yeah.
And when he developed the habit of when he would meet a young child, he would ask them if there was anything that you could have in the world, anything mm-hmm. that you wanted, what mm-hmm. would it be? Mm-hmm. And he was in India, and he asked a child that question, and the child said, a pencil.
So oh, my goodness.
He said, well, I just happen to have one, and I'm going to give it to you. And he said he could see the whole change in the child's appearance and demeanor, and he could see the possibilities kind of like light bulbs going off in the child, and he just saw that it was an amazing thing. That he was opening up the world in one way, and he wanted to do more.
That's really cool. Yeah. It sort of speaks to the things that we take for granted, really, in this country, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one of the great stories from his book is, and one of the things that makes this organization really worthwhile is they require the village to participate.
Mm-hmm.
They have to contribute 10% to 20%.
Uh-huh.
And since they don't have any money, they contribute the labor.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were building the first school, he was there and mm-hmm. helping, and he saw two elderly ladies carrying a big, heavy plank. And he went over and said, let me help you. That's really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting our whole lives for this.
This is our part.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
That's very touching to me.
Yeah,
that's really neat. I've always remembered that little incident from the book.
Yeah. What else from his talk did you touch to?
Well, one thing we're impressed with is that they do their own fundraising to take care of administrative fees. So 100% of what we donate for the school goes to the school.
That's cool.
The other thing is that they find people in the home countries that they can work with.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, they've just happened to meet people who had the same kind of idealism and excitement to do things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have local expertise in every country.
Mm-hmm.
And they work with the Ministry of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not stepping on anyone's toes and do it according to the law and to regulations.
Yeah.
And
I imagine sort of the local way of doing things.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is always a big deal.
Yeah. And he really envisions it not as charity so much as just fulfilling a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He feels that this is his purpose, and we as a group thought that's really great, and we'd like to be a part of that and
mm-hmm.
do something special and something that we could always look back on and say that was a great thing that we did.
That's really cool. So will the school, what happens, first of all, how close to the 25,000 are you?
Well, we are over 21,000.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Our goal is to finish by the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and so that's partly why we're here, to spread the word.
I believe you will be asking people to send something in by the end of the show. That's right.
Yeah, that's
good
bet.
That's why we're here. That's all good. That's fine.
And if we get the 25,000, then we have two people that get to go to the country.
That was my next question. What is your company's participation in the thing once you've raised the money? How does that work? I mean, you two people that go to
two
sort
people,
of visit the site or what?
Yeah, two people will get a 4-day trip, mm-hmm. all expenses paid mm-hmm. other than airfare.
Mm-hmm.
They may not see our school, but mm-hmm. they'll see a completed school, and they'll see one that is being built, and mm-hmm. they'll meet all the people mm-hmm. and really get a complete picture of mm-hmm. how Pencils of Promise does things. Mm-hmm. And for somewhat many people, it would be the trip of a lifetime, I would think.
I would think, yeah. I'm part of Dayton Rotary, and there's Guatemala is where they do a mission each year that does a similar kind of arrangement. And they describe it just in those terms, kind of a life-changing trip. And again, it's sort of a reinforcement of the stuff that we take for granted here, that in this country we just sort of have. You know, we've got plenty of pencils.
Right. And yeah. There are actually 50 million or more children in the world that have zero education. So that's they're illiterate, yeah. and they have no education whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And to change that even a little bit, you never know what could happen. There right. might be someone who has great potential to be a scientist or an artist or a writer or anything. Right. And you're unlocking that potential, and we'll never know, mm-hmm. but we believe that there's a good chance that mm-hmm. great things will happen.
So what is it, again, you mentioned earlier, but let's mention again, this sort of thing, what is the $25,000 pay for? The building itself, but also...
Yes, it pays for the building itself, mm-hmm. the complete building. Mm-hmm. And
along with that bathroom.
With the bathroom. Teacher training overall support for 3 years, because they want it to be self-sustaining,
but
it may need help in the beginning.
Right.
And there's they call it WASH, Water, Sanitation, and Health. It's mm-hmm. an educational program mm-hmm. that's for some of the children and for the teachers. Mm-hmm. And they also provide scholarships.
Oh.
So most of the schools that they build are primary schools. Mm-hmm. First couple of grades. But they do provide, some of the money includes scholarships for promising children to go further.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. We should tell people what they're listening to. If you're just joining us or just tuning in, welcome. This is Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. We are here with two folks who are part of the local medical company, Digestive Specialists, Inc., Dr. David Novick and Cindy Milliken, and they're talking about a philanthropic project that the company has adopted with an organization called Pencils of Promise to build a school in Guatemala. What are some of the other countries that Pencils of Promise, you've mentioned you picked Guatemala of three.
Well, the others are equally deserving.
Sure.
They also have several schools in Ghana mm-hmm. and in Laos.
Mm-hmm.
They did some in Nicaragua, but mm-hmm. for reasons I'm not sure, has switched over to Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of their criteria is the country has to be relatively politically stable.
Yeah, they want to make an investment that lasts.
Right, yeah. And, of course, you can never know what happens, but those countries have generally... been stable, and they're not in any trouble spots.
Yeah. Certainly since the early 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not that long ago that none of those countries were very stable, but yeah, certainly. So talk a little bit about where's the fundraising come from? How have you come up with $21,000 already?
Well, it's been a challenge. We've never done this before.
Sure.
We started out doing things within our office. We had a bake sale that...
That's a big bake
really
sale.
Turned out. Yeah, we have five offices, so
sure.
It was a lot of pies.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And then we had a 50-50 raffle where mm-hmm. people bought tickets, and mm-hmm. it all went into a pot, and one person was chosen who would get half the money, and the other half would go to the charity.
Sure. How long have you been working on it?
And we started in March.
Okay. Yeah.
We did a yard sale, which really went well. People brought all kinds of things, furniture, books, records, CDs, DVDs, clothing.
Oh, that's a lot
and,
of hard work.
Yeah, and a lot of people really chipped in for
that. Right.
We also had a costume party for Halloween.
Oh, cool.
Which was terrific.
What did you go as?
Well, I had done the New York Yankees fantasy camp a few years ago, so I wore my Yankee uniform.
There you go. Cindy, what were you?
I don't remember.
Uh-oh.
I think I was a cowgirl. I was more worried about registering everybody and cleaning up afterwards.
I understand. Now, what part have you played in all this? Are you helping with some of the organization of the fundraising?
It
seems like the job that falls on the marketing person.
Right. I've lined up a lot of speaking engagements and a lot of articles and presentations and just helped at the events.
Cool. Talk about how this has affected your company. I mean, you hadn't done anything like this before. I mean, has it sort of changed the conversation or some of the dynamic or some of the atmosphere in the workplace a little bit? Talk about giving and why.
I think that what I've noticed, especially recently, when I tell people, well, we've raised $21,000, they're very excited. Yeah. I mean, they're very impressed. You know, it's like, we really did that.
Yeah. They had a part in it.
So,
yeah. Made it happen.
And so many of the things like bake sales and raffles and parties, it's little contributions. Now, we did also ask all the doctors to give something, and they all did.
Sure.
And we reached out to some corporate interests, and our attorney and our accountant and people like that all chipped in. But so a lot of it came from very small donations that just add up. And I think most people feel really good about it are impressed that we've actually done so much.
Have patients donated?
A few. We have posters all over the office. I thought we would have had more, but we've had some. And one of my patients sent in a donation, and then she sent four more every month. So it was just totally unexpected
and
really,
really
terrific.
So do you imagine this is like the first of many projects like this for the organization? Has it had that kind of a positive impact on the group?
I think so. I think after it's all done, we'll probably do some kind of analysis, and Cindy will help with that, and we'll try to figure out what we did right, what we did wrong, how we can do better. I think we realized after a while we couldn't depend totally on our company, and we had to reach out to various other professionals and corporations. And so we had mixed success, and you know, I think we've thought of things even now that we could have done, and I think we'll do it again. There was some interest in the group to maybe next time do something more local, and we could very well do that. Maybe something with veterans or supporting our troops or those kinds of things.
Well, now that you've said this, you'll probably hear from people locally who are like, oh, you can help raise money for us.
Well, it's funny because when I spoke at several Rotary clubs, and one of them was after the meeting, they were saying, you know, we get people every week to come in, and they're usually pitching something. And they say, you wouldn't believe some of the things. They didn't go into detail, but said, you wouldn't believe some of the things that people are pitching.
Trying to get money for.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of need, and there's not enough money to go around.
Right.
I mean, you know, and it's a very generous community. And
I think
overall.
So.
I mean, a lot of the people that come through this studio for this show tend to be directors of one nonprofit or another. Last week, I guess we had Michelle Riley from the food bank, and she was talking about, you know, the annual Valley Food Relief Campaign and how much their people donate for hunger. And people, everybody who comes through here from that kind of organization talks at length about how generous the Dayton area community really, really is.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think it's really a testimony to Dayton, because compared to other parts of the country, I don't think we've had quite the recovery that many have had. Our economy could still use a little stimulation, and so when you put it in that context, I think this is a great area, and the people have been wonderful, and we're really gratified that we've done as much as we have. We hope to reach the finish line, but but I totally agree with you. This is a very generous community, and hope a few people will think about us.
A few people will gin up from the show. Talk about yourselves a little bit. How long have you been in the area, and how did you get here?
I've been here for 25 years.
Same here.
From New York. But I reached a point.
You did mention the Yankees a minute ago.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the best year, but they made the playoffs for one game.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was looking. I was at a crossroads in my career, and I just I had been working for a hospital and thought I wanted to do more clinical and more practice. I had done research in liver disease and some work with addiction. And then I got trained in gastroenterology and I decided to look for a position. And this was a great position that I found.
Yeah, that's cool. How old is the group?
The group was founded in the 60s.
Okay.
We're over 50 years old.
Wow, that's... Yeah. Survived all the changes in the healthcare business and stuff like that.
Well, we've grown a lot, and we try to keep on top of everything. And our president is a young physician, Dr. Jid, and he keeps up with all the business aspects of medicine. So we've been able to keep one step ahead of all the problems.
Sure, yeah.
And try to give a good service, and we put the patient first, and we do our best to provide really outstanding medical care.
Absolutely. And Cindy, we'll get on you in a second. Well, you're on that thought, doctor. Talk a little bit about how your business has changed in the last few years. I mean, certainly it has been my father was a retired physician he was a physician, then he retired he talked a lot with me about sort of the changes in the business and how medicine is done what have you found?
Well, it's changed in the sense that we do so many outpatient procedures. We didn't do any when I came here. All colonoscopies and endoscopies were done at the hospital. Mm-hmm. Now we have our own centers, and it's more cost-effective for the patient and the insurance company, so they appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Another big change is that everything is electronic. I mean, we did have dictation, but we had a transcriptionist, and now we have voice recognition software, we have electronic medical records. Those things have really changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Not 100% for the better, but we're working with it. And again, everything is focused back to the patient.
Mm-hmm. Do you still enjoy the work?
Very much, yes.
Yeah. And Cindy, where are you from? What brought you here?
I've been here all my life, and I'm not going to tell you how long.
That's okay.
But one of the things...
39 years.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds good. One of the things that excited me about this was that I've operated a charity out of my home supporting the troops for 12 years.
Please tell us about that.
It's Operation Show Our Love.
I have heard of that.
And
we're going to have a twofer here. We're going to talk about your organization now.
We've sent 140,000 pounds to troops serving overseas in 30 countries and ships at sea. So when Dr. Novick came to me and said, I'd like to do this, it's like, well, my heart's there anyway.
Sure, absolutely.
And especially the education part, because I've sent a lot of school supplies to not very stable countries, and schools get blown up. And
And how long have you had that charity?
12 years.
Wow. And is it just you, or is it an organization around you?
It's pretty much just me. I incorporated it, and I did the same thing. I went and talked to different groups and got support where I could and however I could, so that kind of helped doing this. That's I had contacts.
I was going to say, so what did that sort of teach you in terms of this effort, as far as you kind of knew what you were doing when you brought to this.
Right. Yeah. I know you need to get out to people, and you need to get out to radio stations and TV stations and newspapers. And
you're on one.
That's right. Here we are. Right.
That's cool.
And the different service organizations. And the big thing is to get the word out.
What gave you the idea for your charity? Did you have a veteran in the family or something like that?
No, I didn't. I just had a heart for veterans. I wanted to say thank you. And it was in 2003 when we were going into Iraq. Mm-hmm. And I just had this burning desire to say thank you to our troops that were overseas, and I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And if you remember, it was a political hot topic back then.
Sure.
And people would say, oh, we don't support the war, but you got to support the troops. Right, it's like, okay, how do you do that? Right. How do we do that?
So then I started
the charity, and we've learned how to do it.
That's really cool.
Very well.
So I assume the current effort definitely benefited from your expertise there. That's cool.
Definitely. Yeah. We have had a great team. We have one representative from each of our centers, and Cindy, and our company is affiliated with a corporation called AmSurg that helps run our endoscopy center, and their marketing people have also helped us. With all of that, we've had a terrific team, and we've learned a lot. I'm sure next time we'll do even better.
That's cool. Now, did you say the school in Guatemala will be named in honor of the group, or?
Well, there'll be a plaque, we haven't figured out the wording yet, but it'll say that it was contributed by
cool.
hopefully we'll say all of the people from digestive specialists.
Do you know if you get to be the ones that go to Guatemala, or has that been decided yet?
Well, we're going to have a raffle for those who raised a certain amount of money or got a certain number of donors. Mm-hmm. And if they want to go, they'll be in the raffle. And so we made that an incentive for people to step up a little bit.
That's really cool. Does Pencils of Promise kind of report back to you as a donor organization annually or something about how the school is going, or do you have a way to keep track of what you've done?
I think we will. I don't know that for sure, but we have been, of course, we got in touch with them when we wanted to do this, mm-hmm. and one of our nurses, Chelsea, has done a lot of the leadership mm-hmm. work in that area, mm-hmm. and so we've been in touch with them, and when I was in New York, I went over to the office and met with one of the people. Yeah, so we have communication. I'm sure that will continue.
Oh, absolutely. So we got about a minute left. Tell people how they can donate. Because you got about $4,000 you're looking for. Yeah.
That's right. But any amount would be greatly appreciated because it all adds up.
Sure.
So probably the best way would be to go to our website, which is www.digestivespecialists.com,
okay.
and there is an area on the main page mm-hmm. where you can find the link for Pencils of Promise
okay.
and contribute online. If someone wanted to write a check, they could send it to our main office, which mm-hmm. is Digestive Specialists, 999 Brubaker Drive, mm-hmm. Kettering, 45429.
Okay.
Write the check to Pencils of Promise.
It's like in my neighborhood, yeah.
Send it to my attention.
Good. That'd be
and
great.
Those would be the best ways.
That's right. What's the office number? Yeah.
It's 534-7330.
Cool. 937.
Just be sure. Yeah, 937-534-7330. Okay. Make sure you put an S on the end of Digestive Specialists.
Oh, okay. That's good. And so, again, that's digestivespecialists.com? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. That's cool. Any parting thoughts? It's the holiday season. People ought to be given. People ought to be thinking.
Well,
that's kind of why I liked this as an idea for a show, because it's a different kind of project than I think most people think of this time of year when they're thinking of giving stuff, and it's a little kind of offbeat a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think my parting message would be rather than just give some money, join us. Feel like you're part of it because you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make a contribution, you're actually part of it. And our success depends on you and me and everybody that helps.
And there's a lot of information out there, a lot of pictures on the website if you go to the fundraising site.
Oh, excellent. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having us.
I told you it goes fast.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So this is we've been here with Dr. David Novick and Cindy Milliken from Digestive Specialists, Inc., headquartered in Kettering, but across the Miami Valley, and they are raising money with Pencils of Promise to build a school in Guatemala. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
I hope people will consider giving. This has been Miami Valley Voices. I'm your host, Ron Rollins. We will see you next week. Thanks for joining us.